भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 6, Chapter 8, this is the chapter discussing the Narayana Kavacha Shield. And today we're beginning on text 34, which has no purport, like several more verses, so I think we're going to have to finish the chapter. That would be texts 34 through 42. So 34 is written. Let's chant this together. Vidikshu, dikshu, urvam, adhah, samantat, antah, bahih, bhagavan, narasinghah. Prahapayan, lokabhayam, Swanena, Swatejasa, Grasta, Samasta, Teja, Vidikshu Dikshur Vam Adhasamantat, Antarbahir Bhagavan Narasingha, Prahapahalokabhayam swanena Swateja sagrasta samasta tejaha Vidikshu dikshur tvamathasamantat Antarbahir bhagavan narasingha Prahapayam lokabhayam swanena Swateja sagrasta samasta tejaha Vidikshu dikshur vamathasamantat Antarbahir bhagavan narasingham Prahapayam lokabhayam swanena Swateja sagrasta samasta tejaha Antar Bahir Bhagavan Narasingha Prahapayam Lokabhayam Swanena Sutejasa Krasta Samasta Tejaha Vidikshu Dikshur Thvamatha Samantat Antarabahira Bhagavan Narasimha. Prahapayan Lokabhayam Swanena. Svatejasa Grasta Samasta Tejaha. Dikshu Dikshur Dhamathas Samantat. Antar Bahir Bhagavan Narasimha. Prahapayam Lokabhayam Swanena. Svatejasa Grasta Samasta Tejaha. Vidikshu Dikshur Dhamathas Samantat. Antar Bahir Bhagavan Narasimha. Prahapayam Lokabhayam Swanena. Svatejasa Grasta Samasta Tejaha. Matajis. Vidikshu Dikshur Hamathas Samantat. Antar Bahir Bhagavan Narasimha. Prahapayam Lokabhayam Swanena. Svatejasa Grasta Samasta Tejaha. Vidikshu, in all corners. Dikshu, in all directions. East, west, north, and south. Urdhvam, above. Athaha, below. Samantat, on all sides. Antaha, internally. Bahihi, externally. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narasimha, in the form of Nrisimhadeva, half lion and half man. Prahapayan, completely destroying. Lokabhayam, fear created by animals, poison, weapons, water, air, fire, and so on. Swanena, by his roar, or the vibration of his name by his devotee. Prahlad Maharaj. Svatejasa, by his personal effulgence. Grasta, covered. Samasta, all other. Tejaha, influences. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Narasimhadeva. May Lord Narasimhadeva, roaring for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Nrisimhadeva protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. We might as well say this together. Please repeat. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Narasimhadeva. May Lord Narasimhadeva, roaring for his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions, through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by His own transcendental influence. May Narasimhadeva protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. What a wonderful verse. But there's no purport, so we'll go on. Maghavan idam akhyatam varmanaya narayanatmakam vijeshyaseyanjasayena dangshito surayuthapan. Vishwarup continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayana has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. Etadharayamanastu yam yam pashyati chakshusha yada va samsprashet sadhyah sadhvasat savimuchyate. If one employs this armor, whomever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately freed from all the above-mentioned dangers. Nakutaschid bhayam tasya vidyan dharayato bhavet rajadasyugrahadibhyo vyadhyadibhyascha karahichit. This prayer, Narayana Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayana. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put into danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. Imam vidyam pura kaschit kaushiko dharyan dvijah yoga dharanaya swangam jahau samarudhanvani. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Tasyo parivimanena gandharvapatirekada yayau chitrarathastribhi frito yatra dvijakshayah. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chitradatta, the king of Gandharva Loka, was once passing in his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Gagananyapatatsadyah savimano hyavakshirah savalikhilya vachanad asthinyadaya vismitah prasya prachi sarasvatyam snatva dhamasvam avagat. Suddenly, Chitradatta was forced to fall from the sky headfirst with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sages named the Valikhilyas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby river Saraswati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his own abode. Sri Shuka Uvacha, ya idam shruniyat lokale yodharayati chadritah tam namasyanti bhutani muchyate sarvato bhayat. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, my dear Maharaj Parikshit, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid of because of any conditions in the material world, is immediately freed from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. Etam vidyam adhigato vishvarupachatakratah trai lokya lakshmim bubhuje vinirjitya marathayasuran. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwarupa. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds. Purport. by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This mystical mantric armor given by Vishwarup to Indra, the King of Heaven, acted powerfully, with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vidya karmani chasada guroho praptaha phalapradaha anyatha naiva phaladaha prasumnoktaha phalapradaha. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the mantras will not be fruitful. This is also indicated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34. Who knows the verse? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. All mantras should be received through the authorized guru. And the disciple must satisfy the guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nisphalamataha. There are four, what does that verse mean? Anybody know? Sampradaya vihina ye? Same thing that we've just heard from Vijayadvaj Tirtha or Madhvacharya, that any mantras that are without a sampradaya, they're considered to be useless, basically. There are four sampradayas or disciplic successions, namely the Brahma sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya, the Sri sampradaya, and the Kumara sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantras from one of these bona fide sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never successfully advance in spiritual life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled the Narayana Kavacha Shield. This Narayana Kavacha Shield is also called Narayana Varna. Varna means also another kind of protection. Just like sometimes those who are coming from Kshatriya stock, they have the surname Varna. Sometimes we know such persons. So Narayana Varna, in fact, it's called here in one of these verses that we just read. Anyway, so in text number 34, which is on the board, we'll notice the name of Bhagavan Narasimha is there. And Sridhar Swami and other commentators point out that this appears to be redundant because if we go back to text number 14, we will find this pertinent statement. Payan Narasimho Asura Yutha Parihi. May Lord Narasimhadev, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and the battlefield, or the battlefront. So in today's verse, we've heard much the same in text 34. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy names of Lord Narasimhadev. So again, we've come to Lord Narasimhadev. When Vaishnavas pray for protection of any kind, they naturally think of Lord Narasimha Dev first. Now, Sridhar Swami, who points this out, he also happened to be a worshipper of Lord Narasimha Dev. And all of our acharyas, of course, follow Sridhar Swami more than anyone else. So, in Srila Prabhupada's translation, there is no purport. The purport has been incorporated into the translation, we might say. He mentions, Prahapayanlokabhayam swanena tejas swatejasa. By his own potency, the Lord is delivering us from all sorts of fear. Lokabhayam is the word used. What does loka mean? The world. And in a social sense, what does loka mean? People, the population, from others. So how do we know, according to Srila Prabhupada's word synonyms, that this really means animals, poison, weapons, water, air, fire, and so on? Well, this has been given to us by Sridhar Swami, and Srila Prabhupada has very faithfully incorporated it into his word-for-word synonym translation. We might not know that, so it's good to point out his transcendental fidelity. And same thing with the words swanena swatejasa, grasta samasta teja. The influence or the power of all others is, well, we might say eclipsed by the power of, by Lord Narasimha's own power. And that power is twofold. There is his own roaring, it's like we hear from Brahmanda Purana, garjantam garjayantam. He roars and he causes others to roar. So who else is roaring in today's verse? Who else is loudly? Prahlad Maharaj is loudly chanting the holy name of the Lord, because we know on the strength of Sri Arjuna's assertion in Bhagavad Gita that when the Lord's name is chanted very loudly, all sorts of demons flee in fear. So either way, swatejasa, it is his potency, either coming from himself in the form of his own roaring, or coming from his own swanijajana, his own bhakta, swabhakta, Prahlad Maharaj. Either way, it is swa, his own. This information we have from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and also Vamshidhara Acharya and Sridhar Swami. So, that's in text 34. In text 35, interesting, we just quoted this text 14 of this chapter, also dealing with Narasimha Dev, who was there called Asura Yutapadi. Asura Yutapadi means the enemy of the demons. So in text 35, we have the same word is used, Asura Yutapan, Dangshito. And Sridhar Swami tells us Dangshita here means being protected, kavachita, being protected from the leaders of the demons. So the leaders of the demons, taken as a proper noun or as a bahuvrihi compound, we can say. This is referring to Hiranyakashipu in particular, but it's also a general description of the biggest of the demons. And we do have to fear these persons. Why? Let's go on to find out in coming verses here, because these are all, you can say, more or less palashrutis. They're mahatmyas of the holy name, glorification of the holy name, but glorification indirectly in terms of praising the benefits of chanting this Narayana Kavacha. You will be freed from all sorts of fear. And one of them is from the leaders. I think the word here is used, leaders of the demons. And in text 37, Raja Dasyu Grahadi Bhyo. Three kinds of formidable opponents. One of them is the Raja. What does Raja mean? The king, or the president, or the head, whoever he is. Maybe your CEO. You don't know. Or your president. Dasyu means what? Anybody know? Thieves. Plunderers. Graha. What does graha mean? Grabbers. Who are the grabbers? They grab you and throw you down? Who is this? Graha. Anybody know astrology here? Planets. Not exactly planets, but those who are administering our karma. So these are very formidable things. Chanakya Pandit says, a king, you have to be very careful in dealing with him. Because if he's displeased with you, he can at once have you put to death. Similarly, a thief, he may come with very pernicious, smiling words, but you cannot trust him. He at any moment, he can turn on you. In fact, in some respects, well, anyway, we'll see. As this story plays out, we'll see that there is deceit even amongst the most august personalities in the three worlds. Even amongst the demigods, even amongst the sages, what to speak of the demons and others, there are deceitful thieves. And grahas, there's a nice story about the power of one graha, in particular Shani, that's Saturn. Anybody know about King Vikramaditya? Famous king. So he was Indra again. Here we're seeing Indra in this sixth canto in particular. We're finding many cases in which Indra is really having problems in some ways. Indra offended the same Narad Muni twice, and Indra killed two Brahmins and offended his spiritual master as well. Who are the two Brahmins that Indra killed? He killed Vritrasura first, and then he killed his brother Vishwarup as well. Alright, first he killed his brother Vishwarup, then he killed Vritrasura. The both of them are the sons of Tvashta. Now Tvashta is also an interesting character. Who's Tvashta? He's the father of Vishwarup, but he's described in contradictory ways in different kinds of shastras, or at least it appears to be contradictory. He's all the way back in the Rig Veda, this whole story of Indra killing Vritrasura, it goes all the way back to the Vedas. And it's ironic because there's a very clear distinction between the Indra of the Vedas, who is more or less treated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it would seem, if we read the Vedas at face value. And the Indra of the sixth canto here, who seems to be making one mistake after another and committing one offense after another. But anyway, Tvashta is also described there in the Vedas. He's described as one of the 11 Rudras, who are the sons of Kashyapa Muni and his wife Surabhi. He's also described in the next chapter by Srila Prabhupada as one of the 12 Adityas. And the 12 Dubhadasha Adityas are the sons of whom? Aditi. Kashyapa and Aditi. All the gods are considered to be descendants of they're called Adityas, as opposed to the Daityas, who are the demons. They're the sons of Diti. He's also known as a Prajapati, but he's an Asura, this Tvashta. And he is both the son of Vishvakarma, and sometimes Vishvakarma himself is also called Tvashta. So it's not exactly clear what his lineage is and what his position is. It seems to be contradictory in various sources. But for this, in this passage at least, it's quite clear that Vishwarup is the son of this Tvashta. Now Vishwarup is also called Trishiras. Trishiras. What does Shira mean? Seer. And we call it in Hindi, seer. Head. He has three heads. Anybody remember this? Why does he have three heads? That's right. One head is chanting the Vedas, one head is eating, and the other head is drinking soma. So Indra had a hard time killing this Vishwarup. He tried in so many ways. Anyway, that story is coming up. I don't want to get ahead of the plot here, but Tvashta and Vishwarup, his son was Vishwarup. So sometimes even the gods are obliged to side with the demons, and that's the case here. Lord Brahma felt that for the sake of expedience, it would be optimal that, Indra, you should go to this Vishwarup and learn this Narayana Kavacha from him. He knows it. Now, although he's a demon, he's chanting Narayana Kavacha and teaching it to the gods, to the king of the gods. These are the quirks of fate. Sometimes our fate gets twisted and twangled beyond belief. And such was the case with Vikramaditya Maharaj. Because Indra, he went to, all the gods came to Indra one day. And they said, we want to know which of us is the best. All the planets, actually, the grahas, they came to Indra and they said, tell us which of us is the best. And Indra was on the spot. He didn't want to offend anyone. So he kind of passed the buck. He said, well, there's a very pious king in the Bhuloka. His name is Vikramaditya. Why don't you go ask him? And so that's what Indra did. So they came to Vikramaditya, and Vikramaditya was thinking, well, they're coming from Indra. Indra told them to come and see me. How can I refuse? It's kind of like in this case as well. There was Vishwarupa was asked to teach this Narayanakavacha, or the Indra, rather, was asked to go and learn this Narayanakavacha from the demon, Vishwarupa. So anyway, Indra thought, you go and ask King Vikramaditya. So they came to the king, and the king didn't know what to do, so he devised a plot. He said, I'm going to give them all different seats, and their seats have different numbers on them, and I'll just ask them all to pick their own. So each of these grahas, he picked his own seat, and he sat down on the seat, and each seat had a number on it. So then Vikramaditya Maharaj said, okay, the objective way to find out which of you is the supreme is by looking at the number on your seat. I'm not going to have any say in this. So Shani Dev got number 12, or he got the last one, whatever it was. And so he was upset, and he said, you've cheated me, remember? That's you, he's accusing. We don't know who's cheating and who's not. We don't know. This is another thing. We really can't tell in most cases. Anyway, so he had this suspicion and he was offended. And so he said, you watch. When I'm in charge of administering your karma, you're going to get it. So Indra, pretty soon he went into his Saraswati, what they call Saraswati. That is the time when Saturn sits on the moon. The moon is the deity who governs your emotional state, your perception and your feelings and your happiness or distress mainly. So when it was, and when he does this for 7.5 years, which is why they call it Saraswati. Otherwise, his Mahadasha, his major administration period, during which he administers your bad karma, that can last for 17 years. Long time. Therefore, he's called Shanaishchara in the fifth canto. What does Shanaihi mean? Anybody know? Shanaishchara Paramed? Gradually, slowly. He moves very slowly. All the other planets, they will finish with you very quickly, but Saturn takes a long, grueling, difficult time. So when he was in his Saraswati, Vikramaditya Maharaj, he was cheated again by Shanidev. Shanidev came, anyway, he came in the form of a horse merchant to the king's kingdom. And he was selling these wonderful, wonderful horses. And Maharaj Vikramaditya was attracted to one of his horses. His ministers and his spies, they all came reporting, there's this merchant who has come, he's selling first-class horses, you should get one. So the Maharaj took the advice of his mantris, naturally. This is another thing. When it's our time, even those whose advice that we should listen to, they will mislead us. Such is the nature, such is the swatejasa, the power of Kala. That word is also used here later on in this passage. Kala, meaning black, or the black time, your ugly fate. When it reaches you, there's nothing you can do about it. So he went there and he looked at these horses and he thought, well, this horse looks pretty good. Can I ride him? And he said, yes. He said, in fact, you should know about this horse that if you kick once, then the horse will fly into the sky and take you anywhere you want to go. And when you kick twice, he will bring you back. So Maharaj Vikramaditya thought, okay, this is a pretty tall promise. But he thought, oh, let me try it. So he got on the horse, he was riding, and then he said, okay, let me see what he said is true. He kicked the horse, and the horse immediately flew into the sky beyond sight, in front of everyone. He just disappeared into the sky. And he found himself way high up in the air, like an airplane, looking down and thinking, well, this is definitely an advantageous horse. For me to have this horse, it would be very good. So he kicked the horse twice, and the horse was supposed to bring him back down to the earth, back down to ground. He didn't do that. Instead, the horse threw him. And Maharaj Vikramaditya flew through the sky, fell into the middle of a dense, dark forest. And he was, undoubtedly, he was cut and scratched on the way down, falling through these trees. So he ended up with some broken limbs and very much pained and bewildered, and he didn't know, he couldn't find his way out of the forest, so he didn't know what to do. And then eventually it started getting dark, so he lost all of his crown fell off, his jewelry was broken and scattered, all of his opulence, he was bereft of anything. And he's here alone in the forest, wandering without a clue as to where to go. Then some dacoits come. And whatever he has left, they take that, include everything except his copings. And they leave him there. They beat him up also, as thieves generally do before they leave you. And they beat him up and left him there for dead. After a long time he woke up, he finally found a path, and he just started following it wherever it would go. Eventually, after some time, maybe the next day or two, he got himself out of the forest and he stumbled into a nearby village. He didn't know what to do, but on the edge of town there was a merchant was selling some things. He had a little dukan there, as we say, little stall. So he went up and begged for something to eat, and looking at this niggardly-looking person, beggar, the shop while it was thinking, oh, I would be merciful and give this person Atithi Devo Bhava, as the Taittiriya Upanishad tells us. The uninvited guest should be treated like God. So he did that. He gave him something to eat, and the Maharaj said, I'm actually King Vikramaditya, and I don't know how, but somehow or other, he told him this fabulous story, and of course the shopkeeper thought this man is also crazy. The famous King Vikramaditya, he's claiming, and so he didn't believe him. So he thought, but anyway, the man looks, he may be useful for me. He had a great profit that day, because Maharaj Vikramaditya had this boon that wherever he goes, there will be Lakshmi, there will be no dearth of wealth. And so the man thought, well, maybe he's lucky, maybe I'll just hold on to him, I can employ him in the shop doing something. So he did that. And Maharaj Vikramaditya, he proved to be a very diligent worker, because if nothing else, at least Saturn provides you with diligence, determination, austerity, hard work. So he did this, and he was working there for some time, and eventually the shopkeeper took him into his home as a regular servant. And he became very trusted and dear to this shopkeeper after some long, long time. Now eventually it came time for the shopkeeper's daughter to be married. And because Vikramaditya was very trustworthy, he entrusted him with taking his daughter into town to shop for a Mangala Sutra. Mangala Sutra is a very valuable necklace that women, when they're married, they wear this. It's often made out of a lot of gold. So they bought one of these in the town. And while they were there, the one merchant was in the shop there, and he was selling artwork, nice paintings. There was a nice painting of a swan, and somehow it caught the Maharaja's eye. And he thought, let me get this also. So they brought that picture home. They put it in the girl's room. So that night, when everyone was asleep, the swan in the picture came out of the picture and began to eat the Mangala Sutra that they had just bought. And he ate this thing, and then he went back into the picture. And when the girl woke up the next morning, her valuable necklace is gone, and she immediately blamed the servant. Because that's what you do. In India, the servants always steal. Everybody knows. So he was taken and arrested, and he was taken to the king. Now, this king happened to be a former enemy of Maharaj Vikramaditya. So when Maharaj Vikramaditya himself was taken in front of the king and presented as a thief, this king didn't recognize him, but still the planets were still in order, and he still hated him. He just didn't like him for some reason. Sometimes you see, there's somebody, you just don't like them. Or there's just something about this person you're just not sure about. This is all the workings of our karmas. As Kunti Devi says, it's all... No one is actually enemy and friend, but the karma sometimes clashes. So this is what happened to Maharaj Vikramaditya. So the king immediately took him as guilty, said, chop off his hands and feet. And the Maharaj immediately protested, no, you can't do this to me. And he said, you wouldn't hear it. He immediately cut off his hands, cut off his feet. Now he was really in a problem. He had no hands and feet either. And nor did he have any more a place to live, neither did he have any more employment. So again, he was a beggar, this time without hands and feet. So somehow or other, one Tailwala took mercy upon him, took him. In those days, they used to press oil out of seeds by yoking a wheel to to bullocks and having them go around and around and around. And you would just have to have somebody who could make sure that these bulls were doing this. So he was employed in that way. He was also a very good singer. And just to while away his time while he was doing this, he would sing very beautifully. He knew classical music. So he was not far from the king's palace at this time, and the king's daughter happened to be very fond of music. So one day, all the lights in the palace went out because of strong wind. There was maybe monsoon or something. So he sang a particular rag called Deepak, which is said to be able to light fire. And when he did that, all the lights, they all came back on again, because the sound of his singing went wafted into the palace. And the girl, who was a fond musician herself, she said, "Whoever that man is who's singing that, I'm going to marry him. That's my vow." So she made this vow in front of the deity. And so then she told the king, please, I have to see this person. I have to marry this person. The servants were brought, Maharaj Vikramaditya in his unfortunate state was brought before the king. And when the king saw this, he said, "You! Again! And now you're here to marry my daughter?" And he was ready to cut off the king's head on the spot. And at that time, Shanidev came and said, no. He said, "I've done all of this. I was the one who sold you the horse. I was the one who sold the picture that ate the duck. I was, or the swan who ate the swan in the picture who ate the Mangalasutra. I was the one who, I did all this. I arranged for all these things to happen to you. This is the power of Swatejasa, Kala, your face. Therefore," the word is used here, "Raja Dasyu Grahadibhyo, from things such as kings, from thieves, from planets, and vyadhi, disease is another one." That's text 37. Now, text 38, we have the next 3.5 verses, Sridhar Swami says, they're dealing with an old story from maybe from the Puranas or something. There was a Kaushik Brahmin. Kaushik is a class of Brahmins. And he deliberately gave up his body, something like Sati gave up her body, after chanting this Narayana Kavacha. And he died in the desert. Desert is generally considered to be not a very auspicious place. Why is that? No water? Yeah. Indra, as we'll see later on in this sixth canto, he received for the sin of killing these two Brahmanas, Vritrasura and Vishrup, he received the sinful reactions, which he distributed in four places. One was to the rivers, who become swollen in the rainy season. It's called Ritu. It's as if the rivers have their menses during the rainy season. And ordinary rivers, that is, they're considered to be impure at that time. But rivers such as the Ganges and Yamuna, they don't become contaminated. And similarly, women, they also have their menses at a certain period of time. And trees, they exude sap. And deserts, they are deprived of water. And so all four of these things are considered to be inauspicious at the time. See, where there's no water, that place is considered to be impure and unfit to live. But this Kaushik Brahmin, he gave up his body in the desert, but because he was chanting the Narayana Varnama Kavacha, therefore he was delivered by its mystic power. And Jiva Goswami says that for this reason, these are all evidences which prove the efficacy of chanting the holy name in particular. So then he quotes a number of places and from the Bhagavatam and other sources that glorify this process of chanting. Here we have the last verse, etam vidyam adhikato, having received this vidya. The word vidya means mantra often, just like Madhvacharya is quoting this vidya karmani chasada. It means knowledge and actions, but it also means mantras and rituals. Groho prapta, which you have received from the guru, palaprada. They give you fruit. Anyatha naiva phalada. Otherwise, if you don't receive it from a guru, they never give you fruit. Prasannokta phalaprada. Even though you chant them favorably, they're still not considered to be effective, unless you get it from your guru. And Prabhupada is therefore stressing in his purport the most important conclusion that we can come to. All fears, they are eradicated by chanting the holy name, but one must chant the holy name under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master in one of these four sampradayas. Otherwise, we cannot gain freedom from the 10 offenses that Padma Purana mentions, which we're sure to commit in this age of Kali Yuga. Therefore, this is the natural conclusion. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Approach a bona fide guru, surrender unto him, render service unto him, and he can impart knowledge of this holy name unto you because he has seen it in truth. Tatvata, as Krishna says in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. These are a few things we can think about here. The story gets more and more complex later on. It's not by any means over yet. It keeps going on. So we'll see what happens. But anybody have any questions or comments? Abana Bhatra Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. My question is that the point that's brought up about the mantra having to come within the disciplic succession, I have two questions in that regard. One is that a person who, say, receives one of Srila Prabhupada's books just out somewhere and happens to live maybe in a remote area, doesn't know about any of the temples, and on their own just starts chanting. Can it be said that that person is receiving the mantra through our disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada?
Right. Who decides what is Guru Prapta and what is not Guru Prapta? This is what you're asking. Yeah, and I would say in a general sense that's true. I don't think that such a person could perfect his chanting of the holy name without then seeking the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and being trained by him and rendering service unto him. Sharanagati really is impossible without some sort of objective reciprocation from a bona fide guru. And this is why we are not so inclined to accept the Ritvik theory, which is that you can accept a posthumous guru. Because there's no possibility of Sharanagati. He has to judge you as well. He has to decide whether or not he accepts you, and Ritviks do not give Srila Prabhupada the choice to do that. So it's limited as to how far one can progress without the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master through this kind of service and submission. So yes and no, I would say. Yes, he's receiving it from Srila Prabhupada, and no, he cannot perfect the process unless he actually takes up fully what those books teach.
Thank you. The other question is, these people that chant in a lot of yoga assemblies and things, people like Krishna Das and these popular kirtan leaders, I just am asking because I don't know, are they following, is there gurus coming in bona fide disciplic succession generally? Or not?
This is another good point, because now kirtan is so popular and widespread. You've got every nuance of color along the spectrum, you know, all the way from the harshest namaparas all the way to, you know, namapasa you have in many of the, or even pure chanting in some cases. available in public fora now for chanting kirtan, and it's a very gray area, I would say. I think you're going to find all sorts of varieties of purity and efficacy in the chanting within yoga studios in particular.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Anything else? Yes, Narottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you tell us the ending of the pastime that you were telling us?
Maharaj Vikramaditya? Yeah, I don't want to leave you hanging. Generally, in all stories within the Vedic tradition, they always have an auspicious ending. In Western literature and drama, we have tragedy. That usually doesn't happen in the Indian tradition. It always ends up in kalyana, auspiciousness. So he was, everything was restored to him by Shani Dev, because Shani Dev's wife was a staunch votary of Shani, and through her intercession, from the very outset, she prayed, please don't be too hard on my husband, when she realized what was happening. And he said, well, he's going to have to undergo his karma, but I'll be lenient with him. So at the very end, he said, yes, you can have your feet back and your hands back, and you can have your kingdom back, and everyone will recognize you, because nobody recognized him even. Nobody trusted him. They all thought he was a thief or whatever. He was just, when your time is there, there's nothing you can do about it. Everything will work against you. That's just the way karma is. It's inexorable, as Prabhupada likes to use this word. Inexorable, what does it mean? Anybody know offhand? It means you cannot, there's nothing you can do about it. You can complain about it, that's all. But you cannot do a thing about it to change it. So, yeah, it worked out in the end, and he went back to his kingdom. In fact, he even married the daughter of his enemy as well, so he got a little bit of a gain from it. But it doesn't always happen like that. If it did, none of us would have any impetus to take shelter of this Narayana Kavacha, or to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without offense. Therefore, the world has to be a pretty harsh place. Unless Krishna turns us over to Maya, who plays hardball with us, we're not going to surrender to anything. Such is the impurity of our hearts. So these stories are here, and in particular, I would think that with the Sukama devotees, such as Indra and others who are mentioned in this section, devatas in general, we can see just how complex and how difficult and how entangling this karma mishra bhakti can become. So one of the lessons that we're to take home from this whole passage, from this whole canto for that matter, is to steer clear of that mixed devotion, because it may be, everything may be clear when you're in the mode of goodness, but as soon as your karma changes and you're thrown into passion or ignorance, you lose track of all time, space, and circumstance, and don't even know who you are. I've told many stories about this. I won't go into detail because it's late now, but I mean, I've seen people, they become completely covered over and forget everything. It's very dangerous. So unless we get examples like this, we don't learn. Okay? Well, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.